Today I want us to talk a little bit about encouragement. Heavenly Father, would you encourage us today by your word and your wisdom? Speak to us, to our hearts, that we could experience encouragement right from you and then be encouragers to others. So through Christ I pray, amen. There's a great story about Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Soviet dissident, when he was imprisoned by the Soviets in a Siberian prison. At one point, he was so discouraged, so worn down by his treatment that he decided it would just be better to die than to go on living. His plan was to stop working in the field. And he knew if he quit working, that the Soviet guards would come to him and beat him to death. But he had resigned. It was time to give up. Then he stopped working. And another prisoner reached over with his own shovel and quickly drew a cross, the cross of Christ, at his feet. And then he erased it before the guards could see. Solzhenitsyn later said his entire being was energized at that moment by that little encouragement. It reminded him that because of Christ, there was hope. Because of Christ, he could have courage. He found strength to continue because a fellow believer had cared enough to remind him of hope. And today, we are blessed by the speeches of Solzhenitsyn. My kids are still reading Solzhenitsyn in his Gulag Archipelago right now, which is like our library in and of itself. And I would encourage you to as well. But why did all of those become possible? And there's such wisdom for us today. Why are they possible? Because a fellow prisoner was sensitive enough to draw a cross on the ground at just the right time. God knows how to encourage us at just the right time. I was recently reading more about the life of John Huss, or Jan Hus, depending on how you want to say it. When I was able to go to Prague a year or so ago, I was able to visit, you know, the statue where they remember Huss, and the Bethlehem church where he preached. And so I've become increasingly interested in his story. Great Czech reformer. But because he was preaching against what the church was practicing at that time, and the sins and the evils of the Pope and those in power, he was called to face trial at the Council of Constance. And even though he was promised by the Pope and the Emperor safe passage, he doubted their trustworthiness. And so as he made the journey to the council, he decided he was going to face it. He could have run away and found his own safety, but instead he decided that he would go and face the council, and knowing that it's very likely it would mean his death. But all along the way, evidence of his work and his faithfulness in ministry were obvious as people stopped him and gave him places to stay and gave him food to eat and shared with him these last moments in scriptures and walking with Christ. Of course, he was not protected. He was put on trial. He was placed in prison and in the worst of conditions until his health broke and he finally died. And in a letter that he wrote to an associate that he told not to be read until he had been killed, basically he said, as he faces his torture, he realizes if his Savior had to suffer and die for him, surely he should consider himself honored to suffer and die for his Savior, or something to that effect. Encouragement is needed by all of us, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, just as, in fact, you are doing. The Bible is filled with passages about encouragement, where God encourages us, and then he tells us to encourage others. If nothing else, it tells us how much we need encouragement. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is tempted by Satan 4 times, and then after he leaves, the Bible says that the angels came and began to serve Jesus. Jesus needed encouragement. Everybody who walks faithfully with God is going to need encouragement. Why? Because encouragement gives needed perspective. Discouragement distorts perspective, doesn't it? We live, as we like to talk about, upper story, lower story. Always there's, God is writing a story that is true, that is real, that is redemptive. And there's going to come a day when he returns and we're going to be merged to the upper story and it's going to be called heaven. But we live now in the lower story where God's blessing is experienced, but it's experienced in a limited capacity. Where God is at work, but it's not always obvious to everybody. When what's obvious to everybody is what we would call a secular writing of history. And sometimes it's easy to be separated from God's work or to be separated from God's blessing and activity, and for the lower story to get such a distorted perspective of its importance that we forget, lose sight of what God's doing in the upper story. So Jesus encourages, you will have suffering in this world. I've told you these things that you might have peace. You will have suffering in this world, he says, but be encouraged, I have conquered the world. Jesus is honest. Lower story, you will have suffering, but be peace. Be of good courage. Upper story, I've overcome the world. And this world will one day end. The prophet Elijah was discouraged. He wanted to end his life. He was tired. He was frustrated. And God knew exactly how to encourage Elijah to get his perspective right. First, he gave him food, and then he gave him rest, and then he gave him more food, and he gave him more rest, and then he gave him a challenge. He gave him a personal experience of himself, and then he gave him a challenge. You have more work to do, Elijah. Arise, go find somebody to disciple, Elisha. Go do this work that I've called you to. And that's exactly the encouragement that Elijah needed at that time, because the discouragements of life had ruined his perspective. Same thing we could see with the prophet Elijah. You know, Elijah is going through a terrible time. Elijah is a prophet who gets so discouraged. In fact, there's a book that's written by him called the Book of Lamentations, right? It's the laments of Jeremiah. And there's a part of him sometimes that wishes he hadn't been born. I mean, here's the prophet of God and people aren't listening. He's a prophet of God and they throw him into a pit when he tells people what God has to say. Jeremiah is discouraged, but God knows exactly the encouragement Jeremiah needs. And he says to him, I know the plans that I have for you, Jeremiah. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Elijah and Jeremiah remind us, discouragement distorts the perspective of the lower story, blinds us to the reality of the upper story, but God knows how to encourage us in the lower story to keep our eyes hopeful, to keep our hearts strong, because he's with us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritually forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You discouraged? It's because we lose perspective that the battles that we're facing are really spiritual battles that are taking place in the heavenly realm. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. 4 ways that God encourages you. First, through his word. That's why we have to study the Bible today. That's why you are doing these devotions with us. And that's why we encourage you to share these with somebody else. God encourages us through his word. It's part of the reason why I try to share with you as much Bible as possible. God encourages us through his word. What are you reading today? So often when people get discouraged, one of the questions that I want to ask them is, what are you reading? What godly things are you reading? What are you reading in the Bible? How's God encouraging you personally through that? And even devotionally or just for your own edification. Second, God encourages us through his people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, sometimes people get into the habit of not meeting together because life is easy, because things are going pretty well. And then you quit neglecting to spend time together. And all of a sudden you discover you're discouraged. My experience, though, is spending time with godly people is the source of, is one of God's greatest sources of encouragement for me. In fact, I could walk with you if it wouldn't embarrass people, and I'm not going to do it, but I could walk with you through significant moments in my life from the time I was young, from the time I was in high school, when God put people in my life so that I would be encouraged, so that I would have wisdom, so that I would have strength to this day. You all know, I talk about Bill Smith, my friend, a lot. God uses Bill Smith to encourage me in a time when I was really discouraged about discipleship at New Life. I was really discouraged about our ineffectiveness. And God, what do we need to do? And God provided a good friend in Bill at just the right time. Are you neglecting God's people? If you're discouraged, my guess is, to some degree, well, let me say it like this. You don't want it to be your own fault. You don't want to lose perspective because you're not engaged. You know, are you involved in a small group, in a DBS group, a Bible study group? Are you connecting and worshiping online? Are you taking responsibility and doing what you can? Sometimes people are like, and I don't mean this, I mean, the church does need to take responsibility. There's a lot that I need to do, that I need to do better in leading and providing leadership. I don't diminish that for a moment. But sometimes people are like, how is the church going to solve this problem? How is the church going to solve that problem? And I want to encourage them, you are the church. You feel disconnected. Connect with other people. Pray for how God is going to connect with you with other people. And God will provide for you the right people at the right time. But you have to look and you have to be willing to connect and respond. And when other people reach out to you, you have to be willing to connect. And when it calls for your commitment and sacrifice, you have to be willing to connect and commit and sacrifice. Don't neglect meeting ourselves together. God provides encouragement through his people. Oh, I'm so thankful for how God does that. God provides for us encouragement through his purpose. Like with Jeremiah, when God says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans for your well-being, not for disaster, for a future and a hope. When God says to Elijah, I want you to go and find Elisha, and I have work for you to do. It's like the Apostle Paul, who says, there's one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. God has a purpose for me moving forward. You need encouragement. What purposes has God given you right now? What purposes of God are you pursuing right now? By the way, it's going to mean you have to quit looking for safety. You have to quit looking for security. It's going to mean you have to be willing to change your life and reprioritize your life to God's purposes. You can't have it both ways. But at the same time, if you refuse to eat the food that God puts in front of you, you can't complain that you're hungry. And if you're feeling discouraged and losing perspective, don't blame God if you refuse the food of his encouragement that comes through his people and his word in pursuing his purposes for your life. Finally, God encourages us through his presence and his power. Often he does that in small ways that are not dramatic. But when you are really in the pits and desperately in need, there are so many stories that I could share with you about how God acts providentially to give us his presence. One of the books I'm reading right now is this book, Live Not by Lies, by Rod Dreher. In it, he tells this story of the miracle of the cigarettes. He says, you know, if we believe that God exists, we have to believe that miracles are possible. We live by faith. Sometimes God sends himself to us through a miracle. He describes the story of Alexander Agoradimov, something like that. I wish I could speak the Slavic languages. But he said he was sent to prison for being a follower of Christ. And he tells a story about some improbable thing that God did with him in that prison, something that signaled to him that God was with him in that difficult time of misery. God had a high purpose. He said, when they put me in the cell and other inmates, I said, peace be with you. He remembers one of the prisoners asked me, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He told me to prove it. Another inmate said, we're the scum of the earth. We don't even have cigarettes. If your God will give us cigarettes, we'll all believe in him. He told his fellow prisoners that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that smoking fouls it up. But he continued, God loves you so much that I believe that he would even give you cigarettes as a sign of his mercy. So he asked them all to stand and to pray together for this. Everybody laughed, but they stood respectfully as he led them in prayer. That cell was very crowded, he said, but it became very quiet. We prayed for 15 minutes, and I told them that the prayer was over and they could sit down. At just that moment, the guard opened the cell door and threw a bunch of cigarettes into the cell. That really happened, he said. Dreyer asked him, that really happened, he said, astonished. He said, it really happened. It was incredible. There was a sign I had prayed for. The prisoner shouted, God exists. He exists. And that is when I knew God was speaking to me too. He was telling me that he had a mission for me here in this prison. Denikov's thus began life behind the walls of a Soviet prison system. But he knew he was not hidden from God. And because of that, as a Christian dissident, he would learn that God has manifest through his fidelity. God was manifested through his fidelity to those damned to die before the firing squad who were desperate for a sign for hope. His connection to God would be, to these wretched men, their only lifeline. There are times in our lives when God shows up and shows his presence to us in miraculous ways, in powerful ways. Now, if your prayer is simply, God, I'd like to have a nicer car, so I'm praying for you to show me your presence by letting me win the lottery, don't expect God to answer that prayer. But here's a man who finds himself in a Soviet prison because of his faith in God, feeling separated from God and wondering what God's purpose is for his life, surrounded by men facing death who do not believe in God. And he prays a desperate prayer of faith, and God shows up in miraculous ways. God encourages us through his presence and his power. I have seen that in my own life through a telephone call received at just the right time, a note received, an encouragement, an opportunity to make a little extra money when we were in need, a specific answer prayer. And God does that in your life as well. Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. How are you going to find encouragement in God this week? And how are you going to pass on that encouragement to somebody else? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God of all courage who gives encouragement to those of us who lose perspective because this world is hard and stressful and broken. We thank you for your encouragement and that you are rich in encouragement, that you are able to sustain us, that you are greater than any challenges that we face. So, Lord, I pray that you would give hope to each who's hearing my voice right now, that your presence would be known in a powerful way. Draw us close to you through Christ, I pray these things. Amen. By the way, you know the greatest encouragement of the promise of God? It is not that he's going to do something wonderful for you. As the writer says here, he promises us nothing but the cross, not happiness, but the joy of blessedness, not material wealth, but richness of spirit. See, this is how God encourages us. He says not sexual freedom as erotic abandonment, but sexual freedom within loving, mutual, sacrificial commitment. Not power, but love. Not self-sovereignty, but obedience. He provides us the encouragement of his presence, of his Son and his Word as a solid rock of foundation to stand on, as his Holy Spirit with power to walk with us, and as heaven as our hope that can never be taken away. Be encouraged by Christ today and share that encouragement with others. And until next time.